Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Today, my guest is a returning friend, Kristen Gieselin, and our topic is going to be intuitive mojo. And Kristen will explain that in greater detail in just a couple minutes. But before we begin our conversation, I want to remind you to check my website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and look at the products there under the Boomer banner. If you click on that, it will take you into their website and you can see what it truly means to get healthy. Their keystone products, the Boomer Barley and the Gladiator Barley, as well as the Boomer Boost. If you do nothing but that, you're going to find yourself entering 2020 in a much healthier body. And without that vehicle that carries us around with our 2 feet from day to day, the rest of what we're talking about will be much more difficult for you. We have to have physical health before we can put together the emotional, the spiritual, and the mental qualities of our life. So please check out the Boomer website and see what you can do to make yourself much healthier in 2020. I want to share a little bit about Kristen. She certainly has catalyzed positive changes for literally thousands of individuals and hundreds of nonprofit organizations. And she's just a wealth of knowledge. So I think anyone listening out there that has a company that wants their company to prosper in 2020, get hold of Kristen. She is available for personal and business consultations and custom workshops. And Kristen, why don't you tell them what you're doing as the year ends up and then where you're going in 2020?
Well, it's been kind of an exciting finale to 2019 for me. I just completed the first inaugural class of Intuitive Mojo and Grounded Mindfulness, and there will be another one launching on January 16th. And it's really the system that I'm applying in this class or bringing to folks is a system that sort of comes out of actually, you know, over 30 years of experience working with individuals and organizations and also my personal spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. And I've always been, as you know, interested in health and wellness and body, mind, spirit. But as we, you know, are leaving sort of the 3D phase of our evolution and consciousness and entering the 5D, there's there are new ways of conceptualizing, you know, who we are. So how we sort of reflect on who we are, it's time to expand that and to deepen it.
So I understand 3D, but I'm guessing that a lot of people out there that hear the word 5D have no clues. So what is 5D?
You know, I'm not a 5D expert.
Okay.
But I would say that, you know, 5D has to do with, you know, you imagine something and suddenly it's happening.
Mm.
It's where, you know, the manifestation process, you know, for certain things is very, very quick.
So it's not even like the vision boards of old where you put things up. It's literally think it and it happens.
Pretty close, right. And mm-hmm. and in also there's a whole lot to it. Like there are people that do nothing but, you know, talk about this change, you know, mm-hmm. and you can Google that and find plenty about 5D. I tend to be a little bit more of an earthling myself.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of planets in my astrological chart, you know, that are in earth spots. Lots of Virgo in my chart. So I tend to try to tune into all of those energies, but say, how do we bring it into our daily lives?
Something else I want to make sure, just because I'm very conscious of the 5G, as in George,
right?
You know, that's coming out. So what we're saying to those listening is it's 5D as in dog.
Right. 5D as in dog. Exactly.
Right. 5D as in 5G.
Dog. Right. Right. That's a whole nother ballywick.
That is, we're not going to go there in this show. We're going to stay.
That's a show unto itself, right?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, for people that are not that aware of the different informations that are out there on 5G as in George, you might want to Google some of that and how it may or may not impact your health in 2020 going forward. I will tell you that they stopped a lot of it in Switzerland because the scientists there began to get a little bit nervous about what this could mean on a physiological level. But we are going to focus on how to manifest in a 5D as in dog world.
Right. Okay. We're talking about, you know, really the system that I've been developing, I'm calling B-ism.
B-ism, okay.
And it started, it kind of has been coming in incrementally, bit mm-hmm. by bit. But I don't know, maybe a year or more ago, I was hearing a report on the like white supremacist sort of, you know, traction in Europe and thinking, I really understand how people need to have some sense of identity, but this is sort of a very limited way of thinking about who we are when we think of just who I am in this personality, in this birth family, in this human lineage. Mm-hmm. When we disconnect from our spiritual heritage, it really diminishes what we can access and how we see ourselves and how we live our lives. So I felt like compassion for people needing to sort of hold on to some sort of identity ID, but at the same time thinking how sad that a lot of people are coming from a place where they're not connecting with so much more that's available to them, and they're just trying to hang on to, you know, the right. where I was born, who my parents are, the geographic country I'm living in. You know, mm-hmm. that's a very, to me, small understanding of what a human being actually can be.
Right. Yeah, I'm just thinking to myself, we see these ads all the time for your genealogy. And that is very limiting because then it's just, this is my family. And sometimes we are, like you said, so much more than the family that you were born into in this lifetime.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So as I was contemplating that, I said, well, what would I prefer for people to be identifying with? You know, what would be better? Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, all the different elements of who we are. And that, you know, we talk body, mind, spirit on mm-hmm. this show, but mm-hmm. through other experiences that I've been exposed to, I also like to think about adding in the soul. Mm-hmm. You know, if we do have some kind of continuity between lifetimes, right. However clear or fragmented that may be in our current consciousness, many people have either pre-birth memories or they have certain identifications here mm-hmm. that say, where is this coming from? Why do I identify so strongly mm-hmm. with a certain person or a certain location? And you start to wonder, you know, maybe there's some element of my being in an energetic level that has had this experience already. Right. I know lots of people report this sort of thing. This right. is not outside the box at all.
No. And I mean, for me, you know, especially during the holidays like this, but as you move from fall into winter, there's certain aromas, there's certain textures. Down here in Florida, we don't have it as much as we would say in a northern state where there's definite seasonal changes. But the smells of the holidays, the pine, the crunching of leaves, you know, the wind rustling through trees when there's brittle leaves on the branches. I mean, we are into sounds. We record everything through our five senses. And a lot of times, and I'm sure you've done this with families that you've worked with, but a lot of times when there is an issue that never got resolved, if you take them back through the senses so that they can experience what it was like, they're able to access it so much more easily by going with what they smelled, what they remembered touching, what they remembered hearing, and then processing it from that point.
Right, exactly. So we have this amazing sensorium, mm-hmm. our five senses, plus then our extra senses.
Right.
So between our five physical senses and all of the clairs, okay, mm-hmm. which are, there is essentially about five clairs.
You want to explain that?
Sure. Well, it's clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant. I always forget about the one... that's the smell one. I forgot the name for that. There's a special name for the one for smells, you know, and then There's one more. The fifth one's escaping me right at the moment. But it's basically all the different ways that we can perceive through our physical body at the extrasensory level.
I think the touch was the one.
Right.
Because you can hold somebody's object and get information from holding that object.
Right. And that might be, that might be considered clairsentient, but I think that has more to do with actually feeling things in your own body.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's, it starts with a K.
Yeah.
So the point being, we really have so much more than our physical identity, to relate with. And the system that I created sort of blends things that I learned by different environments that I worked in. For instance, when I worked with young people, children 0 to 5, the first thing we would do when we were trying to figure out what was going on with them was check out their physiology. Okay, did they have lead poisoning? Did they have a hearing impairment? So when we're trying to sort of figure out where we're at and where we want to go with ourselves, knowing what's going on with the body, which goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show. What is happening with a person's health?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with my body?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the first thing that I say is let's tune into what's going on with our body. Then the emotions, okay? Because our emotional weather, of course, is changing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that affects a whole lot of things. It affects the way we think. It affects our chemistry. It's very powerful, our emotional being. Then the intellect, okay? In the Buddhist practice, we treat the intellect like a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of treating it like, pretty much in the West, there's almost a worship of the intellect. So we don't want to just say the intellect is the only sense that counts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us get out of balance because we spend too much time trying to process and crunch information and ask and resolve questions that may not have answers that really are that relevant to the quality of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then there's the soul. What's going on with our soul life? And to a large extent, a lot of the people that I'm working with now and have been working with for the last 3 years are either waking up spiritually or they're waking up intuitively and they're starting to recapture memories, soul memories, or they're realizing that their gifts or their abilities that they have in this lifetime are somehow connected to something from the past, okay? That they just suddenly, they're here. Like, okay, I didn't do anything to get that. How did that come here? It's just, boom, it's here. And then our relationship with how we connect with our chi, mastermind, God, infinite intelligence, whatever you want to call it. I say mastermind because then the acronym comes out nice, B-E-I-S-M. Okay, so the model is Beism. I've used that to in coaching, to help people look at all these different elements in their lives in terms of their personal development. And now in the Intuitive Mojo and Mindfully Groundedness class, people each week took time to pay attention to the intuitive information that was coming in through each one of those systems. And by the end of the class, people really were reporting some amazing shifts. And, sometimes when you start to tune yourself into the intuitive world, you can feel like, will I really be able to cope with everything down here in 3D? It's like people get nervous, like, okay, if I really go into these intuitive gifts, will I still be able to be a husband or a wife? Will I still be able to take care of my kids? People start to get nervous. So a lot of the work that I've been doing is helping people sort of manage and integrate their spiritual abilities that are opening up, their intuitive abilities, their gifts, and also just stay functional here in the 3D, because we're in 3D and 5D really simultaneously.
You and I talked right before we got ready to do the recording. Everybody is well aware that the newest Star Wars movie is coming out tonight, actually. And so that is going to be, an interesting thing for people to see. But the movie that is relevant here is, if people have not seen The Last Jedi, it came out in 2017. So if you didn't see that one, you may want to check it out, rent it, do something before you go see, the one that is coming out at Christmas time. And the reason being, one of the things that happens in the movie is that Rey, who is the female main character, is going to be trained by Luke Skywalker. And, you know, the belief is that Luke is her father. But one part of the movie, which makes total sense to what you just now said, Kristen, is she kind of falls down into this well. And when she lands at the bottom and she looks around, there are mirrors in front of her. And it's sort of like an accordion situation where it's one mirror after another mirror after another mirror, and it goes on for infinity, whether she's looking to the left or she's looking to the right. And so that is like our lives as I see them, is that we are multidimensional beings. And so we have the ability to access information from every single life when we choose to do so that might give us information in our current life that we're focused in. But we can't access all of them. And so that's a little bit, I think, like what you're saying, is that we have this ability to do that, to understand who we are now, you know, in the moment, but who we've been maybe in many, 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 many moments in our past.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's just, you know, one of the variables that people are coming into and become waking up to and starting to be conscious about.
How many people do you think are out there, like in an entire, let's just say Tampa Bay area, let's not go worldwide, but you know, how many percentage-wise do you think are beginning to slowly wake up and go, oh my goodness, this is not what I thought?
I could not even begin to imagine.
Yes. Yeah.
But it does feel, there's a lot of predictions. Almost everybody who's energy aware and, you know, tuned in this way are anticipating huge shifts in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like those little goats that can hop up the mountain all at once. You know, it's not like it's not like we're stepping up, it's boing, you know, we're hopping up all at once.
Right.
And so there's a lot of energy, you know, that's moving and powerful at this time, which is, you know, if you're open to it and you're conscious about it, you can, you know, use it to your advantage. If you're just feeling disoriented because it's so different, then it could be psychologically stressful.
Right.
So,
and for a lot of individuals, again, that maybe scientific backgrounds in their training or religious backgrounds, you know, it's going to feel very unusual to even think along those same lines. But like you said, if you're open to it, if you have the ability to say, maybe I don't have all the answers, then I can explore. I can look around and say, well, maybe, maybe this could be.
That's exactly right. And I had students in my class this last time. I ran the class for the first time, Intuitive Mojo and Mindful Groundedness. And one of them had a pretty huge, two of them, a pretty huge spiritual awakening just a few years ago. Mm. And sort of a breakdown followed by, often there's a sort of a breakdown followed by an awakening. And, you know, maybe a psychological breakdown or some kind of...
Could it be physical as well?
Oh, it could definitely be physical. Okay. For a lot of people, it's some kind of a health crisis that causes the, you know, it's sort of like an instigator for a shift.
You know... Years ago, it was the near-death experience for a lot of people. And I just happened to be in the field working at that particular moment. But people who would come and see me on an individual basis, and, you know, maybe they were pronounced dead. Maybe they, you know, were brought back to life from a defibrillator or something of that nature. And they hovered above their body watching while this was being performed. And their lives were never the same because they realized that they were spirit, that they were souls, and that the physical body was just the vehicle. And so, you know, I think the physiology of things can make a huge impact when we realize that we're more than flesh and bones and circulatory systems and a brain.
You know, right.
We're so much more.
Exactly. And so for people who have had that near-death experience, you know, most of them come back and hopefully live their lives a little differently. And some come back as teachers. I mean, I know there's someone in our area, in the Pinellas County area, that got all these teachings from, you know, high masters while she was on the other side, and her whole life was completely different. So a lot of powerful things can happen, you know, at that time when people are crossed over.
You know, I think I've told you, but when I was 17, I had a near-death experience. And I didn't know that that's exactly what it was, but I had lost a tremendous amount of blood with a virus. And so I awakened after being unconscious for a little over 24 hours, and they were giving me a lot of, you know, IV fluids and blood transfusions and things like that. But there was a gentleman that was at the end of my bed, and I thought it was a doctor. Did I not tell you this story?
I don't know if I've heard this story.
Oh, okay. And but I thought he was a doctor because he was in white, and, you know, back at that particular time, they didn't wear scrubs running around. They wore a white lab coat, and so all I was seeing was the white. And what was coming from him was just this very gentle, loving spirit. But I thought it was my doctor. And I remember very clearly saying, am I going to be all right? And his comment was, you have much to accomplish in your lifetime. You will be fine. And then he left. And and so I asked, you know, whether, you know, there was a doctor that had come in to see me. And of course, everybody said no. And I never have forgotten that, but it was years later that I began to sort of put two and two together, and I went, oh, that was a guide. That was somebody that was there just to say, you're going to be fine. You know, just trust and move forward. So that, I think that was a transformational point in my life.
How old were you when that happened?
17.
Yeah, so I had, you know, some pretty powerful precognitive dreams that saved me from something very bad when I was around that age, 15. So that may be why we have always just sort of been drawn to each other, Lucy.
Maybe.
That, you know, we early on, we had this these types of things knocking on the door. But some people are not having these experiences in such abundance as young people, and then all of a sudden later on they start. So their worldview, you know, is pretty seriously interrupted. And that can be psychologically stressful. I feel that, you know, when I called to start doing work with other, doing intuitive work at all, when I left, you know, being a college administrator, the people that started coming to me were other intuitives. That was who I drew right away, were other people on a spiritual path or other intuitives. And, you know, one of the first readings that I did, somebody said, oh, I have too many spirit guides talking to me. It's stressing me out. What do I do? Well, you know, I didn't know exactly what that was like because I didn't have that issue. But between the counseling and coaching that I had done earlier in my life and my own intuitive experiences, I was able to coach the person to a place of comfort or clarity about how they were going to handle that. So that's, you know, a lot of people during this awakening process are just, you know, they're skill sets that you need to learn. And you can, you know, you can get all the data that you want, but that doesn't necessarily help you deal with these things when they're happening in your life. Right. You know, a little bit. It can give you at least the scope and reality that you're not losing your mind. I mean, one of the people that took my most recent Intuitive Mojo class, you know, at one point was really wondering, am I losing my marbles? Because, you know, the other side was opening up to her. She was seeing beyond the veil. You know, different sorts of things were going on. And, you know, it was a spiritual awakening. You know, it was a spiritual, a psychic emergency was happening. But nobody was really able to tell her what was going on at the time. And so she went for help from physicians and things like that, but she didn't really have somebody right away to help her through that change. Now, luckily, she is starting to connect with other people. And she did meet someone in the class, actually, and I told her, as soon as you start opening your mouth about who you are and what's really going on, you will start to attract an entirely new circle of people. Don't you worry. You will not feel like you're a wacko. But there are certain things that people go through who are more spiritually tuned in or psychically sensitive when they're in groups of people who may not be. You know, it can feel isolating, you know, because you may be perceiving realities that other people are not perceiving, or you have a sense of what an outcome is going to be and you want it to be the positive outcome. And when you explain you're having a feeling, people want data. you know, in certain universes. Well, if you can't produce data in those universes, then those people are just going to have to experience the negative outcome if they can't, if they don't understand that you're accessing information that is beyond the data gap, the data that's right here. So, and, you know, I'm still processing that. There were a lot of environments where I think I could have helped more, but, you know, they're like, give us the data. Well, by the time we collect that data, we're going to need new data. Sometimes life is changing too fast for that. Mm-hmm. And that's where the intuition comes in, you know, and the intuition is not just expressly the woo, you know, it's a combination of your intellect and your, the knowledge that you have with the woo, you know, and when you combine those two things, then you really have a much better idea of how to respond in some challenging types of situations.
You know, some of the shows that I've done in the past have had to do with chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a highway, you know, for those listening. The word is C-H-A-K-R-A. And but it is an internal highway that we have inside of us. And if you look at it from top to bottom, I guess you would say that it opens at the crown of your head, which sits a little bit above the top of your head. And it works its way down, you know, six more levels to the root, which is at your tailbone. But when you have your highway open for information, for lack of a better word, it goes through your third eye, which is your intuition. That's where your center for understanding things that aren't necessarily factual in nature. And so many individuals that I'm aware of are still out there saying it's kind of like back 20 years ago when we had that lady that was for, I don't know whether it was Burger King or McDonald's, show me the beef.
Right.
But it's like her. And she would be sitting there going, show me the beef. And so people today still seem to operate out of show me the facts, because I can't believe something unless you can show me. Well, when Christ died, you know, Doubting Thomas had to put his fingers in the holes in order to believe that it was Christ. And, you know, so there's so many of us that are still floating around, not trusting our gut, not trusting our intuition, that are kind of saying, I have to see it to believe it. And until you move into that intuitive place and trust that you're being guided, you know, for your higher power, for your higher good, you know, then things will be revealed. And that's part of the 5D, isn't it? Is that revelation of, I can see it, I can have it.
Right. And it's really, I feel like it also really has to do with interconnectedness, the 5D thing. It has to do with more people who are thinking more alike, connecting in greater numbers, so that more things are going to shift and change more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I'm getting a ton of heart-centered energy around that. So the Claire that wasn't coming to me, ironically, is claircognizant, which is one of my strongest Claires, exactly, which is hilarious that that was the one that wasn't coming in. But anyway, that claircognizance is, you know, that was with me throughout my entire life. And people could start talking about subjects of which I knew very little, and I would be able to speak like I knew something. Well, where was that coming from? You know, I was a smart girl. I am a smart woman. But that all of that was never from my actual knowledge in terms of what I had accumulated through direct experience or study. Mm-hmm. That was stuff that was just filtering right in through, you know, from the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So that claircognizance, you know, a lot of people will say, I know it. I can't tell you how I know it. I just know it. All right.
Yeah.
I just know this. Well, you know, that's hard for some other people to accept those kinds of information points unless they know that person well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I saw this interestingly in a cop show recently,
a
detective show. It was really cute. And somebody said, well, I've known you long enough to know that when you get that gut feeling, you're, you know, 99.9% of the time, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, most of us know someone who is that person. You know, so it's not like most people haven't had an experience with somebody who has you know, this intuition stuff dialed in. You know, most people do know someone.
Right.
And it's really not an all or nothing situation. You know, it's really, you know, how dialed in are you at a given moment, at a certain point in your life? You know, more so and less so. You know, if you're under more stress, you know, probably going to be a little less dialed in on that particular day. You know, the busier you get and the less relaxing meditation time you have, you know, you might not be as sharp as you normally are in terms of your intuitive mojo. Mm-hmm. So these are, you know, there's a flow, an ebb and flow with it, even in mm-hmm. the people that have their intuition well developed.
Right.
And it comes differently for different people. You know, like one of the women in my class is doing a lot of divine channeling. She was, you know, things were coming through and she writes it down. Or she feels something in her body and then it turns into words is what she said. That's how she described it. She feels it in her body and then it becomes words. Well, you know, I can't really say, oh, that this is this and this is that. Because just like, you know, there's as many different ways that people access their intuition and this intuitive realm as there are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I've noticed is that the different ways that people access seem to be related to their personalities. This uh-huh. is just an observation that I've been making over time. Like I'm kind of, you know, I have that mercurial mind. I have lots of planets in Virgo. So I'm kind of surgical with the way I go for the intuitive information.
Uh-huh.
I open up my intuitive access points and I let the data come in that I need to do a theta healing or for a reading or to answer a question. There are some people that have that thing open 24/7. And they're picking up, you know, they're very clairvoyant and they're seeing your, you know, different energy beings that are around people and it's going on all the time. That's not how I roll.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice that these variations seem to be related to people's personality types. It's almost like whoever is running this show, Intuitive Intelligence, Infinite Intelligence, gives people the type of intuitive understanding that will work for them, is what I see.
So some people can handle more information, maybe.
Or different kinds of information.
Or different kinds, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think these are the kinds of things that people are worried about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is their brain going to explode if they start going in this direction? Will I still be able to function normally? You know, what will happen to me? You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of anxiety and stress
mm-hmm.
around when these things start happening.
Right.
But so far, you know, what I am seeing is it's almost like a self-protective system, you know, and when you bring ego into it too, it's like if too much ego happens, I've heard that it will shut down, you know, I haven't,
mm-hmm.
you know, because essentially the more you are tuning in for the benefit of yourself and others, the more the system is going to continue to open, you know, it's like it has a fail-safe.
That's true.
And so that is all very fascinating and exciting, you know, that it's a place that you can go with a certain degree of safety and security, honestly, more so than most people probably feel at the beginning of their awakening and their journey into their intuitive understanding.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. I find all of this just utterly fascinating because I have known so many different individuals that have had gifts and didn't know what to do with them. And when I was back in Green Bay, there was a young lady that came in to see me that had relocated from San Francisco. And after a couple of sessions, she actually came in with crystals. And she said, "My guide wants to talk to you." And I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute. You know, we have a 50-minute session here. How am I going to bring you back?" And she said, I'll be in the room. I'll be able to see what's going on and I'll know when to come back." That was my first experience with somebody who could literally leave and then regroup. But, you know, she struggled with her gifts. And so I think sometimes, you know, people that are given these abilities have to figure out how to use them comfortably.
Right. Well, that's where it goes back to me, to the beism and to part of this class that I teach is Intuitive Mojo, but it's also Mindfully Grounded.
Okay,
so as we kind of venture into these different energies, we need to do it in a way where we're able to discern what's coming from us,
mm-hmm.
what's coming from other people,
mm-hmm.
what's coming from spirit, and that requires practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like during the class, in the first week, I have everybody pay attention to what's going on with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, am I having personal aches and pains? Am I feeling something in my body that may not even be mine? You know, how do I feel in my body when I think different kinds of thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Because these are, you know, this is like it's sort of like our radio broadcaster, you know. We have that electromagnetic field around our heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot, you know, the body is giving us a lot of data.
Right.
But we need to be able to know you know, kind of how to tune into it, what it's telling us, and that, right. that sort of stuff.
Right. And Louise Hay, a long time ago, I mean, probably 30, 40 years ago, came up with a book that was called Heal Your Body, Heal Your Life.
Yep.
And it was, you know, people that had kidney problems, you know, what did that mean? Heart problems, what did that mean? Throat problems, what did that mean? Because, again, coming through the chakras, if we look at, you know, those energy fields, if you have an issue that affects the endocrine organs that are in that particular chakra, you're going to have health problems.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, let's get in touch with what's causing, you know, this heart area to be, you know, giving you difficulty.
Agitated yeah, or constricted right. or whatever it's
right.
doing.
You know, why do you have constant throat issues? And 9 times out of 10, the throat is because it's constricted and you're not able to speak your, you know, your thoughts, your peace, your truth, for lack of a better word. And so people don't like to share emotionally what's going on with them coming through the throat, because they're going to hurt somebody's feelings or they're going to make somebody angry. And so they just keep it all in and then they end up with all these throat conditions. So, you know, looking at the physiology of your body, and is it healthy? And if it's not, what's the reason?
Yeah, exactly. So the body is, you know, a number one. That's mm-hmm. the starting point. Mm-hmm. And actually, in the theta healing that I do, it's almost like Louise Hay, you know, on steroids. You know, it's like,
right.
and so I've sort of cross-reference. And when I first meet with someone who is coming that wants, that's looking for a physical healing or a belief checkup transformation,
uh-huh.
I sort of cross-reference between the BIISM system with, uh-huh. with intuitive tools and the theta healing. Uh-huh. And when I see that one area is, like an area is popping up in both systems, I'm like, okay, we know for sure we need to get into this part of
right.
who you are. Because
right.
this is where there's going to be some opportunity for growth and for clearing.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been fun for me to see, to sort of test the BIISM system against the theta healing to see if it, uh-huh. you know, lines up. And I've so far had some positive results with that. So I was kind of happy to see that it was lining up.
I bet it's really fun for the person too. I mean, just from my own experiences in working with people, but fun in your class for that individual to finally sort of get it, that aha moment of, now I understand why I've been plagued with stomach problems.
Oh yeah, we had somebody that was talking at the beginning of the class about neck things,
mm-hmm.
a lot of neck things that had been ongoing. And of course somebody, and she had actually the Louise Hay book, but then we also checked it out intuitively, you know, with some cards, you know, we pulled some cards about it and then other people chimed in. And she actually had one of the biggest breakthroughs in the whole class, this particular
really?
Woman.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. By like 2 or 3 weeks after that week, something amazing happened for her. So because she really got it that she was overusing the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, think about where the energy is, okay, your neck and your head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you've got like an overload of energy in your head, your neck might be starting to have a problem because
mm-hmm.
you've got way too much energy focused in your head.
And had she ever heard somebody say to her, you're such a pain in the neck?
I don't know if she was the pain in the neck or if she was uh-huh. letting other people give her a pain
okay.
in the neck. But once I said, you know, think about the intellect as a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like you don't want to overly rely on any of the other senses, we wouldn't want to overly rely on the intellect. And something clicked for her. I mean, it was mm-hmm. like a light bulb just went on, like boom. Nobody else in the class had the same thing that she had. For
right.
her, it was obviously one of those moments that she was primed and ready to hear that data. The next week, she said, I did everything. I went to yoga. I did all the self-care things that I always want to do that I just think about doing and I never do. It was like, you know, even if, you know, she falls back into some of those old habits, now she understands the mechanism. Now
mm-hmm.
she understands how that intellect was actually sabotaging her ability to live her life the way she wanted to live it. So,
and it wasn't somebody else. It was things that she was doing to herself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's always us. So
mm-hmm.
So that was really exciting for me to witness.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the whole 5D concept, you know, one of the classes, I think it was the second class, I had conceptualized what I wanted the learning objectives to be for the class. And people came to the class reporting that they had experienced the things that I was hoping that they would learn in that class.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, somehow, you know, we've got an energy thing going on here that is way beyond anything my little intellect can really manage.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, where it's a shared intention, you know, where I'm bringing a certain shared intention and they're bringing a certain intention. And then, you know, it synergizes in the cosmos and pow, something special happens. One of the women in the class was having some trouble with her relationship, and she started doing cards with this man who was not a spiritual man, but they started pulling. I used the Voyager deck, not as the main focus of the class, but just like the textbook for the class, you know, the deck in the book. And so they started doing that, I guess, regularly, which was just giving a lot more insight and a new dimension to their relationship. It was taking their relationship to a different level, which needed to happen because there was like too much energy in one area of their relationship and not enough in another area. And this helped that energy shift over. So that was really like cool and remarkable and unexpected. So, you know, to a large extent, you know, I presented this Beism system and I introduced people to the deck, but we were every week building on mindfulness. Every week we paid attention to, okay, so what's going on second week? The emotions. What's happening with my emotions? Am I picking up other people's emotions? You know, what's going on with my emotions? Why is that happening? And just every week we shifted. We did the body, the intellect, the body, the emotions, the intellect, the soul. That was a little tricky for people to start to think about, is there any part of me, is there anything I'm experiencing that might be coming from my soul? You know, like you were sharing today, you've started to make friends with or acknowledge and understand elements of your life that you believe to be related to your soul journey.
Exactly. And I'm beginning to put two and two together that I've never really done before. Living in Green Bay, Wisconsin for 14 years, we lived out on property that was Native American. And I never really thought about it in terms of anything other than it was a beautiful piece of property. And there were waterfalls, you know, beside my home. And I worked with the Oneida and the Menominee tribes, but I didn't, again, put anything to that other than I was the type of therapist dealing in bereavement and loss, and certainly Native Americans have had a ton of that over hundreds of years. And so, you know, it was very natural for me, but it was seemingly very natural for them to seek me out to help them process some of those emotions. And I've had a recent experience with a person who lives in Florida that is a very gifted writer, but he is a Cherokee chief. And so in his particular case, I was able to do a healing on him, and he was very receptive to that. And I didn't understand why. And now I'm just kind of ending up going 2 + 2 is equaling 4. In this case, it's not a 5 or a 6, but it's quite remarkable, you know, some of the things that do happen. And it's a matter of, like you said, being open. I'm sort of stepping back and saying, okay, I think you are guiding me much better to my guides than I can guide myself. And so I am open to following and not always leading. And in the past, I've always been more the leader, forging ahead, and now I'm willing to follow.
So we talked about this a little before the show. So Lucy's getting in contact with some Native American lifetimes where she had some obviously pretty heavy mojo in terms of her healing abilities. And Lucy's a powerful Reiki master and has Reikied me and saved her husband's life by raising his blood pressure with Reiki. So these are the kinds of things that are just like, you know, regular people. Oh, yep, that's Lucy. Yep, she's just doing that Reiki thing, you know. And regular Lucy. She used to be, you know, a powerful healer and maybe head of a tribe in a prior lifetime. Just happened to live on the edge of the
The Niagara Escarpment.
Yeah, with near where the Winnebago Indians.
Yes, the Winnebagos were there.
Yeah, were there.
Yeah, just in fact, that was overlooking their grounds.
Yeah, overlooking sacred lands.
Right.
So just happened to live there. So these are the sort of things, you know, later on, you know, like she's saying, looking back, you know, it's 2020. Mm-hmm. And so it does, I feel, help us sort of integrate who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we ever want to ego cling or ego attach to those stories either. I mean,
right.
We were humans at that time also.
Right.
But, you know, that openness, the beginner's mind, you know, doing all of this to me in a mindful way
mm-hmm.
is what makes it a plus.
Right.
If we let the ego start to cling, oh, I was this, and now I'm this, and la, 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 then, you know, you're kind of just looping back. You know, that's not forward-moving progress. That's looping back into a smaller loop, which
mm-hmm.
we're trying to let go of those ego attachments.
You know, the picture I'm getting in my mind, and I kind of am offering this as a visual for those that are listening, is this amazing like fruit salad. And so we have bananas and pears and strawberries and cantaloupe and muskmelon and I don't know, grapes and, you know, just all kinds of things in the fruit salad. If we could look at our lives that way, that we are just one big fruit salad, and we can draw the flavors and the textures of those lifetimes and make it into this amazing concoction that we've created. But it's all of those elements. And so we were this and this and this and this, but together we're so much more.
Right, exactly, yeah. And I do feel like when I work with people, especially with the theta healing, that they might have some like personality snags, you know, from this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I check in the other areas and they're like their soul journey or whatever, a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think sometimes people get discouraged if this lifetime has not been playing out exactly as they wanted it to, or
and
doesn't look like the way they thought it would.
But maybe the lesson to be learned in this lifetime, if that's the case, is patience and tolerance and understanding.
Who knows what it is that they, you know, whatever lessons they're trying to complete
mm-hmm.
or to own different abilities that they have and say,
mm-hmm.
I don't need to keep manifesting that. I got that lesson down, you know,
right.
which is what we do with
right.
theta healing. We mark
right.
those lessons as complete once we realize.
Put a check mark by that.
Yeah,
one.
Check, got that. Don't need to manifest the circumstances for learning that anymore.
Right.
But I feel like it gives like a buoyancy or a promise, you know,
mm-hmm.
of, hey, no, you do have a resiliency. There is a strength that you might bring here that you might not have been conscious of, you
mm-hmm.
know, prior to this reflective time to embrace whatever
mm-hmm.
that is. And it doesn't have to be, you know, defined in a neat little package. Just the idea that that exists, I think, helps people.
You know, maybe another visual is a patchwork quilt.
Yeah, sure, a patchwork quilt, you
mm-hmm.
know, and we have different elements of what we bring, yeah, from
mm-hmm.
from the prior lifetimes
mm-hmm.
and from this lifetime, and,
right.
and it's all stitched together. These are all such nice feminine images and abundant images of fruit salad and a patchwork quilt.
Right, they are very feminine. but I was, I was picturing, like, you know, back, Dolly Parton has had a couple of specials on lately, and I've happened to catch them. And, you know, Pigeon Forge, where she has Dollywood and everything. But,
right.
you know, the gift for a lot of the families that lived in Appalachia or in, you know, the hills of Virginia, Kentucky, was a wedding gift that was a quilt for
right.
the wedding bed.
Right.
And it was usually pieces of fabric from all the members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another nice little symbolic way of looking at our lives, is that we are so many threads, so many different ways of interpreting who we are. And sometimes it's looking at a different thread.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, to look at these different angles,
mm-hmm.
look at things from different ways. And to stay, how can I put this? To stay humble in
mm-hmm.
a way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to, as we discover our greatness, to also be like, okay, I'm learning every minute. You know, every minute there's new opportunities to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And,
open your eyes.
Right. And to try to harness, integrate, be aware of what we might be able to offer to others in a way that is not about inflating ourselves, but mm-hmm. and actually helping people grow or develop or alleviating their suffering or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, to bring it out in a skillful, right. a form of skillful means.
Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, the words kindness, gentleness, those are words that come to my mind, that we're not taking a hammer and beating somebody up with it, but it's a matter of saying, this can happen for you too. You know, you can be so much more than where you are right now if you choose,
right.
you know, to go down that road. And here's a window that's open, and here's a doorway that's open, and here's a really interesting looking alleyway that you might want to explore.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's so many possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just talk briefly about how I see the BISM system, you know, as helpful. I think as I develop it more, you know, I'd like to have, you know, I'm still working with it. It's still developing, mm-hmm. but I really see it as a system that will be helpful to intuitives that need to add structure to their work, mm-hmm. and as a bridge for people who are traditionally trained therapists and so forth to ease over into the intuitive side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I see that the bridge between those two worlds, there's a much bigger bridge and a much bigger crossover between those two worlds than ever before. You see so many people who are licensed clinical social workers trained now in alternative modalities and energy healing modalities, etc. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'd like to see the BISM grow into something that will be useful, you know, to folks, you know, in either of those universes.
My goodness, like even like 10 years ago, but certainly 20 years ago, if you went to see a therapist, 9 times out of 10, you were going to be referred to either a psychologist or a psychiatrist for testing and or medication. You know, now we don't have to do that. Maybe sometimes you might have to, but you can look at diet, you can look at exercise, you can look at mindfulness, you can look at meditation, you can look at so many other ways of helping somebody bridge whatever it is they're going through without medicating.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to say nothing of the zillions of energy modalities, mm-hmm. you know, matrix energetics and theta healing and Reiki. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many energy modalities now. Jimmy Mack, one of our local people, has liquid fish. I mean, there's just all kinds of energy healing modalities that are out there. And, you know, at the same time, you know, you always need to trust your own guts and see mm-hmm. what fits for you, what works for you, and see what resonates and really, you know, feels like it's going to serve you when you're exploring, you know, all these different options and opportunities.
Exactly.
And I just feel like this really, part of the BISM for me is to just encourage people to work together. Because we're all human beings, and I would like to develop more of a sort of a little bit of a, I guess, the story, I guess, of BISM, you know, why BISM is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can even change it and put some other elements in there,
right.
But the concept that we're all here together on the planet. And the most important ism is that we're all alive here together over mm-hmm. over every other ism.
Right. And if we can learn to work together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and right now with all this political upheaval that we're going through, that's not happening. And I think there's more and more people as a whole that are looking at this and going, get a grip, you know, learn to work through this. Instead of being so divisive.
Yeah, overall, the whole planet, you know, global village. We're very mm-hmm. small now. X mm-hmm. number of resources, X number of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're born in one land or another, one continent or another,
mm-hmm.
that all that stuff is less and less critical. With the information traveling as fast as it is between the internet and in the psychic matrix mm-hmm. at this point.
It's instantaneous.
Exactly. So we're all one. And, you know, the more we can figure that out, the better off we're all going to be.
I think that's very, very true. Well, let's talk about how people can get hold of you.
Okay, great.
We're coming to the end of the show.
All right. So my Facebook page is my name plus MS at the end, KRISTIN Gieselin, G like girl, ESLIN. You can see the event for the next Intuitive Mojo and Mindfully Groundedness class. It's up for the 15th of January. And I have two prices for that. If you register by the 10th, it's $155. And the full class, if you register after the 10th, is $175. And I'm just really looking forward to the next group to see, sort of watch the magic that the universe presents with the next group. And my email address is the same, KristenGeeslin2@gmail.com. And my phone number is 727-678-3761.
How many people can be in your group comfortably?
Oh, I could handle as many as probably 20 people.
Okay.
You know, I'm doing it in Zoom, and I've figured out how to manage Zoom now. So, Yeah, plenty of space.
If somebody wanted to be part of your group, and would there be like a promo code that they might be able to use to get another $5 off or something?
Well, that's what I've just offered with the early registration.
$155.
Yeah, $155 if they register by the 10th.
By the 10th,
yep.
Okay.
And that's through PayPal, or if you just can't do PayPal, I do have Square, but I have to charge a service charge with Square.
Yeah, because they charge you.
Exactly. So KristenGeeslin2@gmail.com is my PayPal account.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds like a lot of fun. As we are moving through 2020, do you have a particular hope or desire for yourself?
I'd like to be happier and have more fun in 2020. Those are my goals for 2020. More
happy and fun.
Happy and fun. That's right.
All right. So playfulness might be a part of what you're looking for.
Right. And I just wanted to pull a card or two out of the baking bowl to see what the message from Spirit is for everyone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. We got two cards popping right out. Oh, inspiration and success, which lines up with what everybody is saying. All the energy aware people are like, think about what you really want to create and you will have success in 2020.
All right, everybody. So that is the message for us to, I guess, march forward into the coming months, is put energy into whatever it is that you want to bring into your life, and you will be successful. And again, I'm going to encourage you to go to my website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and be sure to look at the Boomers products, because they are going to give you more energy. And you know, I know that I sound like I'm almost harping on some of this, but it is so critical for people to get healthy. One of the things that just came out recently is how many women are not healthy and overweight, bordering on obese, because they take care of their families before they take care of themselves. And so they're overworked, obviously underpaid, but you know, they're doing so much for everyone else that they're not looking at their own wellness. And so I think whether you're a female listening to the show or a male, or you know somebody who actually needs to get their health under control, this is the time to do it. We're just beginning a brand new decade, which is hard for me to believe, you know, that 2020, for the next 10 years, we can have all the success we want. We can have all the energy and wellness that we want. But we have to be the ones to say, if not now, when? When do we do this for us? As always, it's been a pleasure to have you. And I know that we'll be getting back together again fairly soon. Is there anything that you can think of that you want to talk about on the next show?
Wow, is there anything I can think of that I want to talk about on the next show? Maybe go a little more deeply into some of the things that happen with people psychologically when they're opening intuitively.
Okay, so when they open that door?
Yeah, when they open that door, some of the things that happen for them and how to get through it.
Right, because there might be some people out there right now listening that are beginning to get glimpses.
Yeah.
And it might be scaring the... you know what, out of them,
yep.
Because they do, like you said earlier, they do feel like, wow, maybe I'm kind of losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be attributing that to job stress, relationship stress, financial stress, something. And maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it's, you know, their personal guides saying, here, look here, because we have answers for you that will help alleviate everything else.
Right, exactly. And there's, you know, a lot of times people are confused. It can be confusing and mm-hmm. disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe talking a little bit more about...
Have you ever gone through a maze?
Yeah, not too much, but no.
I did corn mazes in Wisconsin. I don't think we have corn mazes down here.
No.
But talk about confusing.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going down the wrong part of the maze and
right.
you end up against that wall, it's like, where do I turn?
Right.
How do I get out of here?
Yep.
And so that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yep.
That people, if they want to, as the door opens, you can help guide them out of the maze into an understanding of what life really is all about.
Well, and just getting into a place of balance, you
yeah.
know, with it all. And
right.
because it's not something that you're going to snap your fingers and it's all going to be crystal clear. It's nothing like that. It's a
mm-hmm.
whole different way of dealing with reality. Like we were talking before, it's stepping away from the intellect and entering the realm of dealing with reality through your senses.
Okay. Well, Kristen, as always, it's been a pleasure. And we'll have you back soon.
Thank you. I had a great time, Lucy. Thank you again.
You're very welcome. Again, everybody, check out SynergyConnectionRadio.com. Please go out there and make this your very best day for 2020. Talk to you next week.